Yo, bitch, walk around.
All right. My mouth is not numb anymore. Or mostly not numb anymore. They've rubbed a bunch of topical anesthesia on my gums. And they made my teeth nice. I gotta go back and get them done extra nicer, but not bad. Not bad. They took my regular teeth and they piped them up. They told me not to eat or drink anything for half an hour after leaving, and that's about 5 minutes away, I think. But my teeth feel all clean. I don't know if I want to fuck them up with eating. Drinking. Never gonna eat or drink again.
Hey yo,
hey, check it out, Eminem's Shade 45.
Eminem.
And this is some shit picked by me.
Not gonna lie, my teeth feel pretty fucking good. It had been a little bit since I've been to a dentist. Live Destiny thing. You know, we talked about it. I got to get into the office and see where we're at with scheduling stuff. But maybe. Freeway. Freeway of the Freeway, not Freeway of the Rapper. I'm not talking Freeway. Freeway. Ugh. It's all overcast and shitty here. They're talking like it might rain this week, which is weird, because they're talking also that at the end of the week it'll be back to being like 90 or 100. Fucking, I don't know anymore.
Yo, check it out, y'all. What's the deal, man? It's Raekwon, man.
Yo, what's up? Yo, this your boy Ghostface. Make sure y'all motherfuckers turn that up and down, man. Don't burn my cake back there. Stay 45, the hype is real.
Stay 45, homie. I don't give a fuck, y'all.
It's like motherfucking voodoo in here. Around the world since I've been out. Now about to fuck around from the pin out. Cause kids need clothes on their back, and daddy needs new Ghostbusters on the back. I still wasn't for flex holding my dickhead at the table ripping bread with my day one. Ain't shit changed, look, I got the same number. Just a little bit of money, it's a fame, huh? The hunger's stronger than ever. I can taste blood on my taste buds. I'm a black and he ain't much. Glowed up like a brave in the forest. In all white, eating orange. Beautiful life.
I guess TGS is getting ready to happen this week, right? Is that this weekend? I don't have my dates straight. Does TGS even matter anymore? Not really. Not really. It's a bummer, you know. I mean, like, obviously there are announcements that get held for TGS and stuff. It's not to say there's zero news there, but in terms of just like, you know, it used to be like you'd go to TGS to see things ahead of the U.S. announcement, let alone anything else. You know, you'd see the stuff that was out before it was even confirmed that it was being localized. And, you know, you'd see stuff a year early or something, you know, and it was like kind of cool. But it's such a global business now that, you know, so much stuff comes out worldwide that it's just not the, like, the appeal is not there. You don't go there and think, like, oh, man, there's a bunch of stuff that, you know, it's never going to come to the U.S. You know, you see, like, fuck, man, they're localizing Gal Gun, you know? And I think it was last year that Sony had their press conference for TGS. They had it like 2 weeks ahead of TGS or something fucked up like that. And it was just like Ubisoft on stage talking about the fucking crew and Assassin's Creed and stuff. And you're just like, well, what the hell? Like, why? You know, I get it. Those games are coming out for the Japanese market. That's a press conference for the Japanese market. But yeah, you know, it was kind of a sad showing for, like, the domestic industry over there, you know? And then, like, everything they did show that was, like, coming out of Japan, it feels like it was just like, ah, you know, here's another game that looks vaguely like Monster Hunter. EGX. I don't know, what is EG? I'm not even sure what EGX is. I mean, that's like PAX. That's like a public thing run for the public or whatever, right? That's not an industry focused show the same way like TGS and E3 are. I mean, TGS used to be the place you had to go to see first-party Sony announcements because all the studios were there and all the announcements were being made for that market first, you know? So it's like, oh, come here and see Siren. Or, you know, Gran Turismo is going to obviously get announced at TGS, you know? And now, you know, the Japanese market is not big enough to support, like, that sort of stuff, I guess, right? I mean, I don't really know, like, what the the exact framing of it is. I guess, like, the consoles are not doing super well over there. Like, they seem like they're ahead of North America these days in terms of, hey, let's get way into games on phones at the expense of games on other platforms, you know? Like, it's why you look at Konami and just go, like, okay, like, it makes sense that they're doing what they're doing, right? You know, you used to be able to go to TGS and then just, like, happen upon stuff and see, like Katamari, you know, well before it was ever announced for the U.S. market. You know, you'd see it and go, look at this crazy fucking thing. It's awesome. I'll totally import this. It'll never come to the U.S. And then that game came over. And I feel like that was one of the last times that happened. That was one of the last times, like, I feel like something came out of TGS and took the, you know, the Western attendees by storm and then got localized, you know, just seemed like, you know, now the stuff is like, you know, the stuff that doesn't come over, it's like anime that's like totally up its own ass, like not available in the U.S. in a wide supply, like you see some of that stuff, you know, the Monster Hunter knockoffs that don't make it over. Visual novels and the like. And yeah, Japan was always into phones. Japan was into phones before we were into phones, for sure. but it was, you know, those were different phones, you know. The whole Japanese internet comes from the perspective of a lot of people using it on phones, and it took forever for it to change. It's why the, you know, the 4chans and 2chans and all that stuff of the world existed, is because they were phone friendly for their crazy iMode phones and all that shit. But now they're just into iPhone like everybody else, you know. So that's why a company like Nintendo has to look at getting in, because that's, it's just taking off on their home turf. They just see it everywhere, you know. And that's why a company like Konami, you know, doesn't necessarily, or one of the reasons why a company like Konami doesn't necessarily have to continue making console games. I feel like it's going to be a year or so before we really know what Konami's strategy is, you know? It kind of like, it becomes, hey, will there be another Pro Evo Soccer for consoles next year? Like, that's the question. I assume there will be. But I wonder how much they'll do between now and then. Konami stuff, I think, is particularly sad because of how many different IPs got locked up there. Like, with them owning Hudson and stuff like that. Then suddenly it becomes like, well, now Konami owns Bomberman, and you know, Twinbee, you know, like all that stuff, you know, that Konami just has locked up across the board. Contra. You know, there's just a lot of great names that, like, you would like to, you'd like to think that someone could do something cool with them someday. And now maybe they, you know, like, no one will get the chance to do that. Maybe that's fine. Like, you know, you could also make the argument that, like, hey, you know, there's something to be said for, like, long-time franchises just ending and making room for new stuff. You know, I think about it in terms of, like, you know, like, making a new Contra today. And not having it just be a pure retro, like, hey, we're making another Contra. Because I think you could do that, but, like, you know, they've done that, and I didn't necessarily, like, love those games. I mean, they were well made over the years. There were definitely some that were good, but I feel like the last Contra game I cared about was the SNES game, like that first SNES game, you know? And everything after that was just kind of a blur. You know, like, making a modern shooter and putting the Contra name on it only makes it hard for that modern shooter to carve out its own place. Because it comes with so many expectations, you know? It's like, okay, well, I don't want to play a Contra game if it doesn't have a spread gun. So suddenly you're like, okay, well, we were making a cover-based third-person shooter, but I guess now we have to put a fucking spread gun in it, you know? Not that the world needs more third-person cover-based shooters, but, you know, you try to modernize Contra, what do you end up with? Nothing that necessarily satisfies anyone. You could just call it something different.
Are you willing to accept it when you find out? Or try to
I look at like Bomberman, and like I feel like Bomberman lost its way in the 90s. As soon as they put fucking dinosaurs in it, I was out. As soon as you could ride stuff, I was like, nope. I don't want to like hover around the edge shooting bombs onto the world. Like, I, you know, like, nope. And I feel like the games that have come out that have tried to be Bomberman have sucked. Except for that one that was just like, here's massively multiplayer Bomberman in a web browser. That was pretty awesome. Yeah, I guess, like, I don't know. Like, part of me is just like, hey, you know, if I could play Bomberman 93 on the internet, I would probably do that from time to time. Like, the Bomberman 93 feature set, I don't necessarily need, like, I don't want dinosaurs, I don't, you know, it's like the a lot of the power-ups and stuff that came after that, like, I felt kind of detracted from the game. Saturn Bomberman's really good.
Hey, Dickface, turn your radio up. You're listening to Shade 45, Sirius XM, Bumpface.
Saturn Bomberman was fun just because, yeah, you could, you know, play like 10 player or whatever it was. It's very misty, like pretty much raining. It's raining. What the fuck? I mean, great. It should. That's awesome. I don't know, the impression I get from different companies and stuff like that, and the, you know, you look at Konami and you look at like Valve, and the problem, the situation is not that different. And Konami is kind of a weird, you know, a little weird, but like, you have to start thinking about things in terms of like opportunity costs. You know, it's like, okay, you have this many people available, you have this much money to develop. What are you doing? Like, what could you do that's like the maximum return on investment? And for a company like Konami, that becomes mobile games, that becomes pachinko, you know, the pachi slot machines and that sort of stuff. At some point, it's like, well, yeah, I mean, we are perfectly capable of devoting a team of people to building a console game and selling it, and this is the return we get on that investment. It's you know, 2x. It's, you know, in a great situation, was it 3x our initial investment? It makes back five times the money, or, you know, whatever. But then if they're looking at, you know, hey, if we took that same amount of money and that same headcount, that same number of people, and said, let's put them on these fucking slot machines, we will get back 100 times our initial investment, you know? Like, yeah, Valve could be out there making a single-player Half-Life 3 and making that their priority. But how are they, you know, like, selling a $60, $50 single-player first-person shooter in this day and age, when they could take that same number of people and put them on Dota or Counter-Strike or TF2 and have them literally make fucking hats, but then go on to... Like, my understanding is that CSGO is actually more profitable than Dota, which seems insane, because you look at Dota as just like, it must be some kind of money factory, blah, blah, for them. To make it better and stuff like that, but doing okay. They can hire new people if they want. It's like, if you're gonna put game developers onto a game that gets developed, you have to look at it as, you know, because these are businesses, you know, it's like, it's tempting to go like, ah, it's art, they should do Half-Life 3 because they want, you know, they should want to do it. Like, yeah, yeah. But if you become cold business-like sense, then yeah, you don't go make another Castlevania game, you know? Because that market doesn't seem to be where the money is at. You take those same people and you go, hey, Puzzle and Dragons is big. What if you made something that was like that? And let's like place our bet there. Let's gamble there. It's the thing that a lot of people don't understand, you know? It's and you get people out there that feel like, you know, like hurt that Valve would make Half-Life 3. Or, you know, or I mean, let's say, hasn't made Half-Life 3 yet. How about that? Hasn't released Half-Life 3 yet.